Hello and welcome to the Pocket Gamer iPhone and iPad Gaming Podcast, episode number 158, I think. With me this week is Keith Andrew.
Hello.
And John Jordan.
No, I'm not back to that again. I'm giving it up. Hello, how are you?
I'm like an elephant, John. I never forget.
I quite wonder where you're going there.
Good week, everyone. Second week back.
Is it?
I think so, is it? Yeah, it's the second week.
Too much news.
It has been a big news week. CES was on this week. Can't call it Consumer Electronics Show. Or whatever. It was good. You have to call it CES now.
You don't call it KES?
No, I call it CES.
CES.
CES-oo. Why, CES 2012.
Why aren't we allowed to call it the Consumer Electronics?
Because it's not called that anymore, apparently.
It's
no longer an acronym, though. It's actually a name.
It's just a word now.
It's just a word. I was told that CES Unleashed in London. Or CES, whatever it was called. I called it CES Unleashed. Where they came over to London and said stuff like, it's really big and it's going to be really great. And it's called CES. Not that much relevant in terms of iPhone news, of course, though, because Apple doesn't actually turn up to that event.
Well, no, apparently they'd send... I saw a story last night. They'd send like 30 people with Macs and hats on to walk around.
250, I read.
Is it 250?
250.
Oh. Right, okay. There's a lot of people wearing Macs right now.
The dirty Mac brigade.
And cigars and stuff just kind of hanging in the corner.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, enough about Columbo.
Going back to elephants, though, they were saying Apple was the elephant in the room that no one mentioned at CES.
Ah.
So that was the big news that no one, every other news was small in comparison to what Apple
says was a bit low key, I thought, this year in terms of. Yeah. I mean, there was lots of TVs.
Yeah, all TVs.
But everyone seems to be preparing their mobiles for Mobile World Congress, which kind of makes says feel a little bit sort of. I mean, the Lumia 900 was basically the biggest reveal.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. What are you talking about?
It's not an iPhone.
Yeah, it's not. It's not exactly an iPhone, is it, Keith?
It's not an iPhone.
Not exactly, no.
Anyway, let's go on to the news. Let's go on to the real news.
News.
Right, let's start off with hardware news. This one's quite interesting.
I was going to go, you're going to say, let's start with the real news, and you're going to just go into loads of rumours, aren't you?
I am. Yeah, see, this isn't a rumour. Well, it is kind of. I've kind of made this one into a rumour. Half of it isn't. Imagination Technologies, the guys who license out designs, GPU designs, to a number of very high-profile...
What's a GPU, Will?
Graphics processing unit.
No, we can't call it that anymore. You have to call it a GUPPA.
GUPPA, yeah. They changed the name because they got so big. Yeah, so a graphics processing unit, or a GPU. Imagination Technologies, their stuff has been... Well, their designs are found on like the iPhone 4S, iPad 2, iPad 1, iPhone 4.
That's pretty much all...
PS Vita as well, and a lot of other... A lot of big machines. And yes, they've just announced that they are licensing out the Series 6 of the Power VR, which they claim to be is 20 times faster than current generation GPU cores, which is quite a leap. Of course, I've jumped from that, though, on my headline, and said that the next iPad and iPhone GPUs could be 20 times faster, because there's no reason why Apple switched designs for their GPU. Obviously, they've only just announced that they're licensing it out, but I suspect they've been doing stuff with their main partners for a while now.
Oh, yeah.
So yes, that's why I think that stat, last year they did the iPad 2 is 9 times faster.
Seven
times faster. Oh, damn. I suspect their stat this year is going to be 20 times.
Yeah, it's all bollocks.
I don't know, you have to be quite careful with those kind of... Because obviously, imagination technology, when they design, they design an architecture... And it can be deployed in different ways. It can have, this one has different cores, or they call them compute clusters now. So it can be deployed in different ways. It can have different RAM attached to it. Obviously, you have with this technology. It's not like we understand a PC graphics card where you have like a whole huge thing you add into it. These are all designed on single chips, system on chips. So basically, you take like a design, and you have to integrate it with the ARM CPU, and there's obviously a bus between it that kind of carries the information. So these things are very complicated. So just to be like the just to be the kind of to rain on your parade, so to speak. So when iPad 2 was announced, they said the GPU was 7 times faster, and then but they said overall system performance was twice as fast. So somewhere between the two, you kind of expect to get some idea of how games might change. Because to a degree, what tends to happen with GPU performance is that it tends to get used up in stuff like shaders, which obviously make games look nicer. So you go from Infinity Blade 1 to Infinity Blade 2, and it looks a whole lot nicer. There's probably a bit more kind of geometry in the models and stuff. But it doesn't. Is it that big a change? I don't know. You know. So we just a kind of a.
All right, don't rain on the parade. I'm feeling quite damp now, thanks, John. Well, anyway, 20 times faster. There we go, as John just said.
But of course, you have to remember the other thing is that, you know, even though Apple they have like a 10% shareholding in Imagination. You know, Imagination just will license their stuff to everyone. So So they've announced. I think there's something like 6 or 8 people have licensed it already, including Texas Instruments, who make a lot of chips for phones. And I would imagine Samsung would be one that's probably licensed it.
Well, in fact, I already said Texas Instruments have licensed it last year, in fact, when they first talked to me at Mobile World Congress about this.
Mobile.
What?
Mobile. You can't. It's not called Mobile World Congress anymore. It's Mobile.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Yeah.
Acronym.
Look, I'm not making carry on, by the way. They actually said that at the thing. They said it's not called the Consumer Electronics.
I think those people should sack.
He's like the main guy of the company.
Get rid of him.
He was the one who presented Balmer as he came onto the stage.
Balmer.
The one that then presented them with a really tacky looking collage of crap from like the last 12 years of Microsoft or something.
They did that. They do that with all of them. They did that with Intel.
He's not Keith's favorite. Keith's favorite was on the Intel press conference.
Oh, what, the guy with the beret?
No, the Intel one. The Intel one.
That's the guy with the beret.
No, the black pea.
Well, that was the first Intel one. The second one, Intel one, had Will I won't. That's what I call him.
He was great. He should go in every press conference for technology companies.
Painful. It's like the Bee Gees on Clive Anderson. It was kind of. Expected him to get up and leave at some point.
One more thing, though.
Got it.
Apple, well, not Apple. It's a Chinese company has made a rather fetching or rather scary action figure of Steve Jobs, which they're selling for $100.
Quite lifelike, isn't it?
Mm. It comes, guess what it comes with? What do you think the accessories are? Don't look at the story.
It'll be a pair of jeans and a roll neck t-shirt thing.
Neck, yeah. And New Balance trainers, of course. And, of course, 2 pairs of glasses, different kinds. A pair of Apples, as in actual Apple machines. And one more thing, keynote backdrop.
Who's going to buy it? Oh, well, no, this is a stupid question. People are going to buy it.
Some people are going to buy it. Interestingly, Apple wants it. Like, they're threatening illegal action because there's certain... Now, this is the interesting thing. Certain states in the US have a thing which doesn't allow you to use a person's likeness for 70 years after their death unless you have it, you know, in writing license from the estate and whatever. But actually, there's only about 7 states which have that law. So,
one of them is California, though. So.
One of them is California. But if you don't live in California and live in one of those many other states which don't have that law, then you can still order it in. And you can, I don't know what you could do with it. It just sort of sit it there, I guess.
I'm guessing this is Jobs in his later years at Apple rather than when he was younger.
No. Yeah. No, they'll release the younger one as a...
I'd get the younger one. He was quite a handsome young man, but not
the
later
one. Comes with an Apple II.
It's a shame it doesn't have like a voice program so it can say things like, I hate Android. I want to
thermonuclear war.
The crazy statements of Steve Jobs. That'd be. I'm sure someone will hack it in to do that or something.
Anyway, so yeah, you can order that. Talking of ordering stuff, iCade has revealed. This is something says news. iCade has revealed 3 new additions to its family. Well, it wasn't a family, but now it is a family. This is Ion Audio, makers of it. So yes, so now there's not just the iCade, which you remember is the one where you put the iPad in what looks like an old style arcade machine, and you use the joystick.
$100 or something, isn't it?
No, it's about £60, I think. Well, maybe it is.
Dollars, isn't it?
Yeah. but now they're going to bring out the iCade Mobile, which is for iPhones. It's basically a D-pad and four buttons on the side, you know, traditional sort of looking controller that you slot your iPhone into. iCade Junior, which again is an iPhone one, but it's like a very small version of the iCade. And iCade Core, which is another iPad one, but it doesn't have all of that pretending to be a real arcade styling. It looks more like one of those fight sticks you'd get, the Hobby fight stick or whatever. So it has six buttons.
No, it's got eight buttons.
Eight buttons. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yeah.
The iPad one's all right, but that iPhone one looks ridiculous.
Which one? There's two of them.
The Junior. Well, whatever the picture one we've got at the top there.
Oh, that one. Yeah, I know.
It's like a
Tiger LCD.
It's just,
yeah.
Must be doing all right, mustn't they?
Yeah, well, lots more programs, well, apps are supporting the iCade. And I mean,
I have to say, one of Pocket Gamer's board members bought one this week or last week.
Oh, one of the board. Yeah. Oh, yeah, was it Mr. Chris?
Yeah. Mr. Chris. Although apparently he just gave it to his 1-year-old son without any iDevice in it, and he just bashes the buttons and he has lots of fun with it. So.
Oh, right, fair enough.
Like Will at the keyboard.
That's by me. I quite like the iCade Core, although I'm a little bit worried looking at the picture that your iPad's just going to flip back. I guess there's some sort of thing holding it in.
Yeah, that's the one that looks, I think that looks usable.
Yeah, it looks quite cool. I used one of those Hori fight sticks the other month. You know, the ones that cost like £150.
Mm-hmm.
They're surprisingly heavy. Like, they're really heavy.
150 quid, but they are. Yeah.
But I mean, they're very nice, but I mean, geez, they were surprisingly heavy. It was like they were made from oak or something. They probably are. Anyway, keeping on the topic of peripherals, there's been quite a few announcements of weird gaming devices around CES or around that time. The next one up is Gun Stylus, which adds a stylus shaped like an automatic rifle.
I didn't understand that. Why would it?
Why would anyone?
What's that about?
I don't know. It's $24.99 though in dollars. But yeah, I don't understand why you'd want that. But anyway, let's move on to the next one, which I think is really bad, which is the SteelSeries Ion Wireless Controller.
Isn't it just a wireless joypad?
Basically, it is. Yeah.
Missing something.
No, yeah, it is, but it's sort of marketed as, yeah, but you can plug it in your tablet, but it looks like a really naff, sort of just, it's sort of the most bog standard joypad you can imagine. Of course,
the image they've shown is not a real thing. I mean, that's a render. It's not out for ages anyway.
True.
I don't understand the big rush. If games weren't doing very well on touchscreen devices, I could understand everyone panicking and let's bring out some peripherals that make them play like normal games. But they are, so I can't really. People at the start, games won't work well on it on a touchscreen device. But I think pretty much, you know, you can, obviously people can do pretty decent touchscreen games. So I'm not sure there's any real demand. I don't hear anyone ever saying, "Oh, I really wish I could play this with a joypad anymore." You know. Doesn't tend to happen, so I'm not sure why all these companies are doing this.
But there's also, I mean, I know it's not particularly relevant to iOS audience, but there's that mad thing that Razer announced, the Project Fury.
Oh yeah,
thing,
yeah.
Which is similar. It's like a gaming PC, tablet PC with two enormous joysticks like bolted to the side of it. I mean, how heavy is that thing going to be? $1,000.
It reminds me of something, but I'm trying to think of what. But yeah, it just looks weird. It's not just been a week for weird peripherals. It's also been a week for game tie-ins, game tie-in apps, as in PC or console game tie-in apps. So I've got the wrong link on that document I've sent you guys. Sorry. I've just sent you back to the gun stylus. I must secretly really love it.
Prefer it when you link back to stories from about 5 years ago.
Yeah, that's better. Yeah, so Rift has the MMO has got a companion app out this week, which allows you to do guild chat and all this stuff. I haven't played Rift. I haven't really paid attention to Rift. The only MMO I care about is Guild Wars 2. Because Guild Wars is amazing. But also out this week is Call of Duty Elite app, which has been long awaited. Like the Elite service itself, it's been subject to numerous delays, but it's finally out. It basically does exactly what the website does, really. It allows you to look through your rank, look at your custom classes, look at your heat maps, I think, check out previous games, stuff like that.
I like the logo.
Like the logo?
Yeah, it's a nice logo.
It is a good logo.
Even though it kind of actually says Elite 3.
Elite, yeah. Or Ellen.
Really?
Yeah. It looks like an N. E-L-N-E. Ellen.
That's not Ellen, is it?
Well, I know, but you can't really say it any other way. Ellen. See? There's no way you can say that without sounding like Ellen.
Elny.
Elny. Oh, yeah, you could, actually. It works. All right. Call of Duty Elny app is out now. I'm not an Elite member, even though I play Call of Duty pretty much every night.
No one's impressed.
I'm not an Elite member.
No, you play it every night. Yeah,
yeah, you are. You know. Yeah, everyone does, though, Keith. So, survival update is heading to Minecraft Pocket Edition. Expected to be submitted on February the 8th, which sounds a bit exact to me, even for a submission date. But there we go. Mojang has said on the company blog that they will have the long-awaited survival mode. No one else seems to have played Minecraft other than me in terms of us three. So
I played it on Android.
Oh, you played it on Android? Good.
Yeah.
It isn't very good at the moment because it's creative mode.
Yeah, it's a completely different experience, isn't it? So, yeah.
I'm not sure why they... Because they said on the blog that they didn't realise that people would be so against just having creative mode. But that's not Minecraft for a lot of people anyway. Especially those who weren't there right at the very start. Because, I mean, survival's been part of Minecraft for ages.
Yeah.
And I guess people were just a bit creative. I mean, that's fine, but... You know, it's all about the mining and it's all about the... fighting creepers.
You and your creepers.
Wow.
What did your shrink say about that?
What is my what?
Your shrink say about it.
He says
the tentacles are about to get me.
Yeah. moving swiftly on. Madfinger Games has confirmed that they're actually not going to be updating Shadowgun with Modspare. They're releasing a whole new game. Woo-hoo. Called Shadowgun Dead Zone.
Dead Zone.
It's going to both Android and iOS. But for once, it's appearing on Tegra 3 before iOS. It's got an exclusive on Tegra 3.
Oh,
so, yeah. So it will come after the Android version. I guess Nvidia did a deal with them.
Mm.
Yes, so you get eight. There are eight unique characters. There's Deathmatch and Team Deathmatch. There's unlocking and there's ranking system. You have to have a ranking system nowadays. That's the genre norm, apparently. And they said that they want to bring the same console gaming experience to mobile devices in terms of multiplayer. Sorry, running it says. I didn't personally. I watched a video of someone else watching it. Running it says, it looked quite nice.
Mm.
But then they were playing with controllers.
Oh, were they?
Yeah.
So, see, controllers are the way ahead.
Controllers are the future, apparently.
Yeah.
Yes. So, there we go. That's good news.
Hmm.
Everyone happy with that?
Yeah.
All right. I'm happy with that performance.
You're not doing all the iPad 3 rumours, then?
Should we briefly do them? I've lost track of what they are.
No, they're not that interesting. So.
It's coming in March, that's it.
Yep.
You know, everyone else was running that. Well, not everyone else. All of the non-mobile sites are running that stupid rumour about there being two iPads in a year.
We ran that rumour.
Yeah. Oh, you ran that room.
We ran it to say it was a bit stupid.
Oh, right, fair enough.
And then we ran a story saying it was stupid that someone else.
Well, we ran a rumor that there are going to be three iPads in a year. Well, that was the first DigiTimes one. There was going to be an iPad. There was going to be an iPad There's basically going to be a, you know, the one with the refreshed internals, but the old resolution screen. One with the refreshed internals and a new screen, and an all new one in October. So that was the, original start of the year rumor. There's going to be three.
And now there's going to be an iPad 2S, isn't there?
Well, now it's but they're never going to call it an iPad 2S. No way. Because if you have a different screen resolution, then that's big enough. That on its own is big enough to call it a new one.
We're all pretty much agreed this is going to have a different screen resolution this time around, because people were saying that before the iPad 2 came out.
I mean, obviously the problem is it's a big screen to make it that resolution. Yes, so there's a technical issue there. So
I think the screen is going to be shaped like a tree or a wheelbarrow or something.
What?
Wheelbarrow shaped screen with teardrop design.
I don't know what you're talking about.
That's what they like. They love saying that. They love saying it's going to have some screen that's shaped like the moon or something to give it a slight edge.
The moon doesn't have any edges, it's round. New releases roundabout.
Ooh.
I might just leave that in.
Nice.
Builds
edit in repeatedly. just at the end of everything John says, just put that at the end.
This week on New Releases, we're Star Marines running out of time in an urban environment.
You've missed a lot out there, isn't he? How can you not have Woody Woodpecker?
I can't put that in without sound.
Got a Woody over something.
No, I'm not doing that. That's it's a family podcast. I'm deliberately making sure we don't have to put a
family. I've said balls and bollocks so far. So.
Yeah, well, you're the foul-mouthed one. You're the one that all the parents go, ooh, whenever you come on screen. right, so first up this week, Star Marine Infinite Ammo on the iPhone. Is it not iPad?
I'm not sure.
It is. Ooh, I don't think it is.
Oh.
Ooh.
That kicks in. This looks quite good.
Yeah, it looks pretty good. We've been covering this quite closely. Yeah, no, it's just iPhone. Yeah, it's available for £1.49, which is, what is it? Is it $2.99?
$2,
yeah. Oh, okay. Yes, it's sort of a side-scrolling run and gunner. Sort of old-school-looking, sort of almost 16-bit-esque.
Well, they're saying Contra Metal Slug kind of inspired thing. I'm sure it won't be quite as... Probably with all this game, it's quite a bit about how World of Controls work, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, yeah. They've got upgrades and stuff as well, which neither of those two games had. Bit of modern. And I can see a health pack as well, so definitely modern. this looks quite good. We as I said, we've been covering it quite closely, because it does look good. There's boss battles, you get lots of different weapons, and there's seven weapons, as I say, customizable equipment, boss rush mode and survival mode on top of a story mode, and so far the reviews look good from the two that are up, which are likely to be related to the company. But it's by the creators of Destructopus. There we go, Destructopus. Glitchsoft. So, Destructopus was quite good. So yes, that's out. What else is out? Keith?
What are you asking me?
I know, I've lost the website. There we go. right, Universal.
That wasn't very subtle.
Universal releases. Let's go. Oh, who's this? I'd never heard of this company before. Chillingo has released Zombie Wonderland 2 Out of Time. The sequel to the mildly, I'd say disappointing Zombie Wonderland.
Yeah, it's one of those games that it looked like it was going to be quite good, didn't it, before it came out. And then it kind of like.
It was control issues, wasn't it? That hindered the original. If I remember rightly.
Mm.
Yeah, again, I've got a feeling this one's another... It's going to be sort of similar in the way that it looks great from the screenshots, but I can't see any groundbreaking changes to how the game works. Anyway, yes. So,
That's very nice, isn't it?
It does look nice.
Yeah. Probably do all right, I think.
You get new weapons this time around. There's new zombies. There's
I think it's all slightly the problem though with the twin stick shooter that if you've got a twin stick shooter and you're kind of like trapped in a building, then obviously that negates the movement, doesn't it? Whereas if you're in a mini gore, you can like that's the whole point is you're free to zoom around. So it's almost a bit of a kind of constraint there, which.
Well, the original is tap to move, I think, if I remember.
Is it?
Yeah, yeah. You sort of tap them, and then they goes running over and shoots them.
Mm.
So.
Okay, it's even worse.
Yeah, So it looks nice. It's available for 69p as well, 99 cents. So yeah. That's not too bad. Also out this week is not out this week. Smash Cops.
What do you mean it's not out this week?
It's not been out. It's pulled. It went up on the New Zealand App Store, came out very briefly, and then they pulled it. They had a technical fault.
It looks nice.
Something like that. Yes, it does look nice. Rob's played a little bit of it because he grabbed it before it was pulled, and he says the controls are terrible.
Oh, well, I was about to say that's the only thing that could be wrong with it is the controls. Really.
They're using a one-touch system. So a bit more like cave shooters than... So you put your finger down and it traces to where you're doing it. But anyway, yes. But the idea of it is that you have to. It does look good. I'm watching the video again.
It's really good.
Yeah, I'm looking forward. I want to try it anyway. Maybe Rob's wrong. Maybe he's wrong. Rob is wrong. Yes. You play a police car or van or many different other ones.
Is the car alive?
Yes. Well, I can't see a driver. Can you?
It's like Kit.
Yeah, it's basically like Kit.
It's Herbie. That's what it is.
Kirby wasn't mercenary.
Herbie.
He didn't uphold the law.
He was alive.
Anyway, yeah, he may have been alive, but anyway, you play a person driving a police car, preferably the police, and you chase down different suspects and ram them off the road in a sort of 3D overhead view. You have to try and avoid civilian cars, which are all over the place. You skid around. You get into police convoys. It's got lots of explosions, well, not explosions, but sort of debris and smoke effects, tire thing, lots of sub-games, 20 missions. Looks really good. I'm just...
Well, it's the lighting. The lighting looks really good.
The lighting, kind of, superb, yeah.
That's a nice bit of realism to it. Looks good.
Also, the way that the cars flip up and go in slow-mo is quite Burnout-esque.
Mm. Yeah, awesome. I'm not sure if that's just the trailer or whether the camera actually zooms in like that on...
Bet you it does.
It looks good.
Yeah. Of course I can't see how much it is because it's been pulled. That's a bit annoying. It was £1.49, I think. But don't roll with that. Anyway, talking of rolling, Urban Crime is also out. I know the price of this because it's Gameloft and it's free.
Well, I'm going to talk about this later briefly.
Okay. Okay, Gangstar.
It's pretty blocky, isn't it?
We'll talk about it later.
Yeah.
Woody Woodpecker is out this week.
Woody Woodpecker.
From, what was that?
Well, I know. What noise does he make? I can't remember.
I don't know. It's been
too...
Blah,
blah, blah. I was like... not seen
he does that annoying one, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Do kids know who he is anymore?
No, exactly. I mean, he was...
Yeah, I can barely remember him.
It's on a long, long time ago.
Anyway, Woody Woodpecker from Chillingo and someone else. I can't remember. I don't know who develops it. Let's check it. It's not going to tell me, is it?
Check it.
Yo, check it. Walter Lance Productions, I guess that's the licensee. Anyway, yes, so you can take the infamous, I guess, children's cartoon character across side-scrolling levels. I think he's riding a skate. Why is he riding a skateboard?
You've got to race for first place. I know that.
Oh, yeah, I see it's a race.
Which is a real twist on the whole race theme, where usually you try and come second. But this one is all about coming first.
That's true. You can pick from up to 5 of the famous Woody Woodpecker characters. Can anyone name me one other character from Woody Woodpecker that isn't him?
Never heard of them.
Excellent.
Oh, no, here we go. They're Chilly Willy, Winnie Woodpecker, Winnie Woodpecker, Miss Meanie, and Buzz Buzzard.
Is Winnie his sister, his mother, or his wife?
His sister and his lover.
I thought this was a family podcast.
Not set in Cornwall. Yeah.
Who's Chilly Willy? Oh, is that the penguin?
Ah, yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
Well, he would be.
Yeah. Buzzard, I've no idea what that would be. Each has their own special characteristics, including acceleration, top speed, and charisma. I'm making that one.
Minus numbers.
No power-ups. Yeah, and you can race online if anyone actually plays it, which I doubt.
Shalingo team.
Anyway, so yes, that's 69p. I don't know. It looks a bit... Nah.
Didn't they talk this up? Didn't when we saw Shalingo the other week, John, did they not mention this as one they were really excited about?
Isn't it because of the license, though, rather than...
I seem to remember that it's Woody thinking at the time. That's a name I've not heard from.
They sent us a separate press release about this, because normally they send us a big group one.
We were talking
on those rare occasions where they went, hey!
We were talking about endless runners. We were talking about Whale Trail and stuff, and then they kind of mentioned Woody Woodpecker, I seem to remember, and said it kind of put a different spin on it. But this just looks like a race, doesn't it? So, well, there's no endlessness to it, is there? There's a finish line in a shot, so...
Well, there we go. Woody Woodpecker.
Move on. Next one looks good.
We're talking of endless races. Well, this one isn't really endless as well. Or nor a racer. Run, Roo, Run is out. And it's the first original iOS game from the creators of Scribblenauts, Fifth Cell. Mm-hmm. Which is interesting. They were talking about this before. They said they had one in the works. Oh, blimey. I've kept the sound on. There we go. Turned it off. Yes. So you play Roo. Actually, no. Isn't he a young one? So he'll be what are they called? Oh, they've got a really good name.
I'll just say at the beginning of the trailer.
No.
Oh, baby kangaroo.
Yeah, oh, Joey. Joey.
You're Joey. That's what it says. The very first line.
Oh, I skipped to the yellow bar. You always skip to the yellow bar on YouTube videos.
Why?
Because that means that's where the video is going to start.
Really?
Yeah, you put them in so that you know where to. Like, if you've got an introduction and you put a yellow bar, then you skip to the yellow bar.
All these years on YouTube, and I didn't know that.
All right, now you know. 420 bite-sized levels, but they are going to add like 10 more stages on a weekly basis, which is quite nice. Yes, and you've got to. It looks like some sort of puzzle game more than anything else.
Well, I guess that's what it says. Auto run micro platformer, so it's
you put the arrows down for where you want him to go, and he sort of runs into them and does the action. That's what I'm getting. It's quite weird. It's not as obvious as some other games we've had. Looks quite nice.
Yeah, it looks very good.
Mm. Yeah, and you get
like a beaut.
Struth. That's all our Australian listeners gone. Yeah, and people have said it's better than Angry Birds. Actually, there's three reviews I could see here, and two of them by the same person. And he said better than Angry Birds twice.
Well, because that's what I compare everything by. Is it better or worse than Angry Birds? That's all I want to know.
When I wake up in the morning, I look outside and think, is the weather better than Angry Birds?
We should change our score system, really. No more of this 10 nonsense. Just
better than Angry Birds.
How many Angry Birds is it?
Red one and the yellow one. Yeah, so there we go. Full Retina support. There's over 100 extreme levels, but over 420 levels. I don't get that.
Well,
some of them aren't extreme.
Oh. There's over 400 levels and 100 of them are extreme. It's fairly straightforward, isn't it?
No.
Why? Why is that?
It's not straightforward, John. Nothing straightforward.
Will's been drinking.
Anyway, 69p, 99 cents. What else is out? I could do a few more. Shall I do one more?
I'm watching some video of some...
Oh, there was that other... the one that just came out. This was really funny. The load of videos came out at the start of the year, and it's called... what's it called? Is it Fingal?
Fingal. Yeah, that came out today.
Just came out today.
Yeah,
and it's kind of like really. I'm not really sure what exactly the game is, but it's.
It looks like a game to entrap women.
Yeah, well, they seem to have actually advertised it like that in the video.
Yeah, you get your iPad. You get your iPad out. Put it on Fingal, and then you've got to put your fingers on certain blocks, and then sort of. Don't you describe it? It's like Twister, where you have to move them around to the other person's fingers.
Yeah.
And then you're...
How do you spell that?
F-I-N-G-L-E.
Just type that in and I've got a video of a cartoon of someone on the toilet. I don't think that's it, is it?
That's probably not it. That's
Fingal Bells.
I thought it was funny in the press release they called it the Barry White of iPad games. It was quite good.
Well, that video
quite how
trailer
it plays,
I saw.
You don't know yet because it didn't just come out, but it's certainly an interesting concept.
That video trailer I saw just had this man and a woman moving their fingers in between each other's, and then they were snogging. I was disgusted. I wrote to my MP about that.
Where can I get it?
Yeah. Anyway, I'll try that when I next try and entrap a lady. It should probably be tomorrow.
Also, do you keep these bits in? I don't know if you
I do, it. Yeah. No, I keep these bits in.
Oh, that's good.
Why censor the truth?
So the audience are on the same page. Yeah.
You're on the same page, audience.
I'm watching a video about Hero Academy you've linked to. So
yes. Hero Academy is my final game this week. Well, not.
It's your final game.
It's my final game. I'd spent a long time on this one. I call myself Robot Entertainment, though. And I'd also been working on Age of Empires. Obviously, I'm not. I'm not I'm not that. But Robot... Orcs Must Die and Age of Empires developer Robot Entertainment has released this one.
They're a developer made from the people who made
Right. It's a freemium.
Well, it got shut down.
That's Ensemble Studios, wasn't it?
It was indeed.
Yeah. Freemium.
Ensemble.
What?
Ensemble.
Ensemble.
Saying in French.
Well, sure, bye. Anyway, it's a freemium game. Wait. It's a turn-based strategy title. Yeah. You see? Come back. Yeah. You're almost at the door there. Come back. Sit down.
What's wrong with freemium? Are we not all over that now?
Well, a lot of people aren't. Hmm. To be fair, when people say freemium to me, I still instantly think of Farmville or games like Farmville.
I don't know.
I think that's a bit unfair. Cause
I'm obviously recently... cheap because I just think, I'm not going to have to pay for it! And then, you know, you do. But initially.
You always have to pay for it.
Not unless you're really good.
No,
normally it's just to pay for it. Sometimes I'm doing good.
Anyway, this one is a turn-based strategy, so it's already gone up in my books. Yes, and it looks quite nice. It's sort of like a cartoony thing. You get a free council team. That's councils in terms of like the characters you get in that team. And you can purchase additional teams for 6.9p or 99 cents. There's an in-game chat function. It's a one-on-one turn-based strategy battle on a grid. With icons and power-ups to pick up. I quite like these sorts of games. They're quite fun, usually. You can play in asynchronous manner.
Like it.
Yeah. Push notifications supported, of course. And you can download it for free. And it's out now. It's called Hero Academy. Right, that's it. That's all the new releases, I think. Should we go on to the slightly embarrassing what we've been playing section?
Yeah.
Probably good.
It embarrassing?
Well, it's embarrassing for me. All right, let's do that.
You've not forgotten your trousers again.
I never wear trousers.
Excuse
wear trousers.
This on. Time I forgot my pants.
What we've been playing!
Hello and welcome to the What We've Been Playing Fields. It's a bit chilly out here. Oh, I should have brought a jumper as well. So, who wants to go first? You know what? I'm going to nominate Keith.
Are you?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Bear in mind, I only played this... It took half an hour to download, so I only played this for half an hour. As for the... opposed to the hour I'd set aside. But, so I've been playing Urban Crime... Which, when the Gameloft logo...
Freemium game from Gameloft.
When the Gameloft logo appeared, I was struck with fear and worry, which was all realised as soon as the game started. It's a freemium game. I wouldn't get too bogged down in that, because essentially all that means is, so far as I've discovered,
if you want to unlock certain weapons or unlock certain cars, even when you're trying to rob them, you have to pay crystals. But if you're not that bothered, then you're not that bothered. So it's a big kind of gangster thing again. So you're in, I think, is it Miami? I'm not sure. Somewhere in America. And it's your job, as it bills it to you in the very opening screen, to basically kill everyone. So your gang can take over the city. And so it's just a mission-based thing, from what I can gauge, for the first half an hour, in that it gives you somewhere to go. You go there, you kill someone, and there you go.
That's not very nice, is it?
It's just... What's most notable about it at the start is that it looks terrible. I mean, it just looks like something.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. I'm not really sure what they're doing.
Someone in the review. I mean, I don't know how trustworthy these kind of user reviews are, but someone has said that I've not played any of these older Gameloft kind of games, but apparently it's basically one that came out a few years ago, and they've just put kind of slapped freemium on top of it, which might explain why it looks so awful. I mean, it just looks terrible. If you try and jump in the water and swim, it is just laughable. I can't imagine that anyone would release anything looking like that, because it's just kind of this blocky water is half over you, half under you, kind of weirdness. I mean, it's quite actually compared to the last gangster I played, whichever one that was, City of whatever. It feels a little bit easier to control, actually. I don't know whether that's just my memory playing tricks on me, but getting in the car and walking around and using accelerometer to steer seemed a lot easier than I remember. But it's just shocking. And without kind of wanting to suggest something that isn't true, all I would say so far is that every single gang member I've encountered in this game, none of them have been white. They're all kind of an ethnic race of some kind, and all they care about is killing. And there's just it's just awful. It really just feels terrible. You're reading this kind of it's complete rubbish, because it's like someone who's not cool trying to be really cool. You can just feel that this has been written by some fat white bloke sat in an office somewhere.
I would say that if Gameloft have a lot of development studios in lots of places around the world that are not in Europe, because Europe's expensive. So it's potentially unlikely to be a white developer.
Oh, look at it this way. It's white. By people who have no knowledge whatsoever of
oh, no.
whatever this lifestyle is perceived to be. I mean, it's a joke.
It's the kind of thing that, you know, you watch some films and you know, you just kind of photocopy off of that basis.
Yeah, but I mean, it's just sickening. All the loading screens are full of these kind of cartoon images of either girls wearing virtually nothing and leaning over, basically, and holding big mallets and stuff, and then big guys with weapons. And it's just kind of what worries me most about this, and Gangstar, but even more from this, from what I've played so far, is that these things aren't games. There's no skill involved in this. There's nothing to it other than it is just a simulator, a really hacky, naff simulator of what someone perceives that kids aspire to. And the opening lines are all about killing to get money and girls. And as Daily Mail as it sounds, I really do worry about the kind of message that sends out to anyone. I mean, you've got to be, there is a proviso when you start it up, you've got to be over 18 or whatever.
17.
To play. Or was that 17 in theory, but you know, no one's going to pay attention to that.
It's just a thing. I'm not that you said, are you over 17?
Yeah. And it's just
a notification.
I can't understand a company like Gameloft, which, you know, it kind of bills itself as almost as you know, an EA of the mobile scene, putting something like this out. I don't understand what they think it's going to do, because for starters, it's awful to play. So no one's going to play this, freemium or not, and think, oh, this is a good game. And as the early reviews, all the user reviews are, you know, pretty awful, because it's just really awful. And then you've got all this stuff slapped on the top, which is just... it's just awful. You think, what's anyone going to take from this, away from this? They're not going to think anything good of Gameloft as a company, and they're not going to think anything good of the game. It's just a really, I just think they have no idea what they're doing anymore. It's just an awful game. And
well, I think the weird thing, I mean, the problem they've had is they were quite successful throughout as doing paid apps. They kind of worked out what they were going to do. They were going to clone stuff and put it out there and have fairly good quality, but not be particularly creative. And now, fairly suddenly and fairly kind of, they've not done a big, like some companies do a big press release, oh, we'll be going all freemium. They've not really done that, but clearly they've internally made that decision that a lot of their stuff now going forward is going to be freemium, and they've tried different things. And it's, to be fair, it's gone pretty disastrously for them, hasn't it? Because the Dungeon Hunter has got terrible reviews.
Well, I mean,
it's got terrible reviews, isn't it?
I don't know whether I'm different or what else. I never even bothers me whether there's a price or not when I look at something. If I was interested in a game, it wouldn't put me off if it was down as freemium. I'd buy it, I'd get it, whatever, and take it as it comes. If it turned out that, it was asking you to do this, that and the other, to pay out for this, that and the other, then you stop. But I think people will put up with that. People won't mind that in the end if the game underneath is any good. And this is a carbon copy of a carbon copy of a carbon copy. So kind of copied to the extent where whatever, GTA is the obvious inspiration for all these games. Any trace of GTA is completely lost by this stage. It's been filtered so many times that what you're left with is this kind of random engine where they've put in these goals to get to, and you go and you do it. And as with the gangster one, I mean, some of the AI is laughable. I was trying to shoot at a guy who was just running into a lamppost constantly, just stand there.
Well, actually, Keith, just looking at that review that you said, I mean, it does seem to be that the what they've done is they've taken the gangster Miami Vindication kind of world. And they put a freemium game around it, because you look at some of the screenshots, just you can tell the car models are exactly the same, the arrows are exactly the same. They fiddled with the user interface quite a bit. But it's interesting. So this is just a quote for this guy. So 2010 GameLoft released 12 to 15 games worth spending money on. Last year that was 4. They start this year with another freemium game. This time not even bothering to make a new engine. Blah blah blah. Save your money and buy Miami Vindication, Rio, GTA. And it's kind of funny, because whenever you talk to developers, I never take this very seriously. So I never look to see, to customer ratings on iTunes. I'm just like, whatever, everyone goes, oh, we've got 5.5 stars. That's what everyone says. For a company like them, at the moment, they've only got 9 ratings. So it's hardly like a massive kind of either way. But they've got 2 stars they've got with 9 ratings. I mean, that kind of stuff, they're not, the most they've had is 3 stars of those 9. I mean, there's no way, as you say, Keith, there's no way that on a board level, like the CEO of GameLoft will go, right, how's that going? And just go, this is just embarrassing,
So. I mean, bizarrely, it asks you to rate it after not even you've done a mission, actually. I think it's after, like, the tutorial, which is just a couple of seconds of telling you how to smack someone in the face, and then how to get in a car. And then it asks you to rate it.
I mean, it's even the case with Dungeon Hunter 3, which, I mean, I played very briefly. Obviously, it's a wave-based kind of freemium game, but that's got 443 ratings in the UK store anyway, and it's got 3 stars. And for someone like GameLoft, I mean, that's clearly not enough. I mean, I'm sure internally they'll say all our games have to hit like a four stars out of 5 rating. That's kind of what we expect. For the company that
I expect a lot of the Dungeon Hunter ones are just protest votes by fans of the series. We actually gave it a bronze, and I think that probably sounds about right from my preview of it. I don't think it's a bad game. I just don't think that choice of direction was right for a Dungeon Hunter.
Well, the issue is it's called Dungeon Hunter 3. If it was
exactly.
Big Sword 1, then everyone...
Well,
then
Dungeon Hunter Arena, as someone else said.
Yeah,
if you called it that would be perfect. No one would be complaining.
It's not difficult. No, I don't know. I think there is a lack of kind of, these big companies, they get to a certain scale where they're pushing out so much stuff that no one is, obviously each game has a producer looking after it, but there's no one with an overall kind of sense of, okay, we're putting out 100 games this year. How can I provide a kind of a vision, even for like journalists or simple things like what we're going to call it,
Right, I mean, I take it, Miami Vindication must have done all right for them to pick that as a model to try.
Yeah,
This does feel like an experiment. I mean, but you think, I can't imagine having played this actually wasn't anywhere near a decent game. I mean, this is just abysmal. It's just a kind of, like I said, there isn't any game there. You just get to the extent where you feel like they just slap a city on and put on points of reference, and then once you've done all that, you've done. There's nothing to it.
But in a sense, I mean, the worst thing you can do with freemium, as anyone who's had a successful freemium game tells you, is you have to make the game the gameplay and the freemium has to work together. You can't just take any old game and slap freemium onto it. That's the recipe for disaster.
You'd think even if they were going to, they'd pick one that was good. I mean, this just... I mean, and it looks embarrassing. It looks embarrassing. I've played it on an iPad, especially on an iPad. It just looks terrible.
You look at the screen shots and you go, "Whoa, what's going on here?"
Mm-hmm. I just wonder, on the kind of, you know, getting a bit anal about it, but on their level, what they think this does for the company, what they think of a franchise like this, the kind of message that this gives out. You know, if this was on a home console, if this was a big release on a home console, then I think even some of the liberal press would go mad about it, because it's just shocking. It's absolutely shocking. And these kind of games, honestly make me feel ashamed for doing what I do, because you think this really muddies the whole industry, these kind of games, and they should be.
Keith, do I hear an editorial coming on? You can write a Daily Mail editorial. No, that'd be excellent.
Without being too strong about it, I think Gameloft should be ashamed for putting out games like this. I think it really is shockingly bad practice. So don't buy it. Don't download it.
John.
Yes.
What have you been playing?
It's gonna pale compared to Keith's kind of passionate enthusiasm. not really a vast amount, actually. So there's a few games that kind of have kind of they. I just kind of got early build to them this week, so they're not really out for a while. So there's one called Dungeon Crawlers, which is it's not quite the same. It's a kind of tile-based, turn-based kind of squad-based-ish kind of cartoony dungeon game, which I've only really just started. It's kind of interesting. They're kind of taking obviously the dungeon kind of crawler thing that we've, the genre of kind of bashing through kind of dungeons and then picking up loot and stuff, which is not something I particularly find exciting. They've kind of done this with much more the art, what's much more cartoony, and it's kind of like they've said they're inspired by kind of Shrek and kind of Ghost Hunters and that kind of humorous atmosphere. So as I say, I've only just really basically just go through this tutorial. So you have the typical, you have your kind of group, which has it consists of three at the moment, and you have your melee fighter, your kind of healer, and your kind of like magic kind of person, and you kind of move them around. So we'll see how that one transpires. It's been in development for quite a long time. It almost got released last year and they kind of held it back, so hopefully it's had a bit of polish. Another more kind of interesting one, maybe not so much for the gameplay as for the kind of the business behind it, is a game which I think is out, it's out next week, called Nico.
Nico.
And the interesting thing from that is it's actually the second game, iPhone game, to come out of Sulaki, which is the Finnish company that does Habbo Hotel, which is obviously the massive social online. Well, probably before Facebook, that was what teenagers kind of did, and before, I guess kids can't get on Facebook until they're 13, so maybe that's why Habbo still kind of exists. So anyway, obviously it's a massive franchise, and people go and sit in their hotels and have fun and stuff. So obviously what they're trying to do is they're not trying to do Habbo. This game has nothing to do with Habbo. To direct link, as far as I can work out, in terms of the characters, nothing to do with it, the settings. It's basically a 2D kind of platformer type thing where you kind of have this weird little character who looks a bit like a monkey but isn't, and you kind of move him around with kind of like touch button arrows, which is a bit of an odd way control system. But you don't really move very much because basically you're kind of like a bit like an Angry Birds. You're kind of pinging him around, or her, whatever they like, around and picking up kind of gold stars and launching him into things that ping him into the stars, and so it's a bit kind of like a bit Sonic-y in terms of how, not that you're running, but in terms of how you interact with the environment. And they've not really said how this interlinks with Habbo, but they did a game earlier where you kind of played it and you kind of unlocked items via the iPhone game that was kind of special items in Habbo, and obviously part of Habbo is customization, so you have special items, and people who play Habbo are really into that kind of stuff. So they're just looking to, I guess they're just looking to say they've got this massive audience of probably 50 million people who play their game, and they're looking to say, well, if we give you this other game, it's not free, I don't think, it's like 99 cents, I think, But if you go to this other game and it unlocks stuff in this other game, how do you know, in this big game that you play a lot, how is that something you're interested in? So it's more kind of like an experiment, I think, how they're going to drive that kind of user base, which is will be interesting to see how that pans out. And then or something I did play a little bit, and we've actually just reviewed it, which is a bit disappointing actually, was Combat Arms Zombies.
Oh yeah.
Which is, again, I mean, it's actually similar to the Nico in a way that it's Combat Arms is a massive online shooter from Nexon, the big Korean online games company. And again, they're a company, they've got lots of people playing their games. They kind of obviously know mobile is a big thing, tablets. So they're trying to see how can we take that audience across. So they've kind of released, I guess you call it, it's not really a companion game because it doesn't link into the PC site. Oh, I think you can do items actually. Again, but basically it's basically just a kind of a shooting range game, first person zombie using Unreal Engine. And basically it's just waves of zombies come and you shoot them.
I mean, it looks nice.
It looks nice. Yeah, the controls and. I didn't find that comfortable, which is again the kind of problem with first-person shooters on touchpad screens. But yeah, I mean, I think as you always say, if you're using Unreal and you have a development team who have a lot of experience with Unreal, they're going to make a nice-looking game. I mean, that's just the way it's going to happen. But didn't really hang together very well, and it's it's kind of one of the games that you play for 10 minutes and go, oh, am I going to play another hour of the same thing?
Well,
and I didn't. So, so that's what I've been up to.
I will quickly say what I've been up to because I haven't actually played any iOS games this week because I've been playing on the PS Vita.
Oh,
look at me. It's not out until February the 22nd, I think. But yeah, so I've been playing on Sony's new handheld machine with the two joysticks.
Nice.
Yeah, it's nice. I mean, that's a piece of hardware. I mean, well, it's an iOS podcast, so I'm going to be very brief. But as a piece of hardware, it's very nice. It feels. As I like to say on all my hardware reviews, feels expensive. it's just the right weight.
But when you drop it, it tinkles in an expensive
way. Yeah, if I dropped it, I'd have a heart attack because it's Sony's. As in, it's not even, I don't own it. yeah, the back touch panel, don't get the point of it. It's a bit weird, actually, because they've put these sort of grippers on the back. As they sort of indent and then, you know, that sort of grippy material. So that you put your hands there so you don't lose grip of it. But there's never really a comfortable position to hold it for me because my hands are quite big. And I'm again having that.
You know what it's like about people with big hands.
Oh, yeah, big hands, big gloves.
That's what I was going to say.
so my hand sort of covers a little bit too far from where the joysticks are. And I get this on the 3DS as well. So it's a bit weird. So I cover the touchscreen at the back with my hands because it's just much more comfortable. So the back touchscreen is going to, well, back touch panel. It's going to be absolutely pointless to me.
But do many games, I mean, some games are saying they're going to use it, so that would be.
Yeah, fun. I have used some, yeah, and they are annoying because then I have to, like, fold my my second finger underneath the unit on the grippers because that's the only way I can hold it. It's all a bit annoying. But yeah, the joysticks are quite nice. There's not as much travel as on the 3DS if the listeners have played on the 3DS yet. But I think that's mainly because they tilt like real joysticks rather than on the 3DS where it slides. So it feels like there's not as much travel there. But the actual build quality is very good. It feels like a solid machine. And I've just been using a few of the demos on that Sony have preloaded on there. Obviously, the location services don't work properly yet. In fact, actually, I picked up a few Japanese import guys the other day, but they couldn't really do much. The menus in the OS are much nicer than the PS3.
It's not hard.
Yeah, it's not hard to be fair, but yeah, it is really nice. The way it handles multitasking is nice as well, because you swipe to the right on the menus to go through these like a sort of paper like thing, and then you pull down on the corners to rip them down off the screen. And that closes them, which is really nice. And
like,
I mean,
time warp in my head for some reason.
Well, it's always nicely animated, and I mean, it's an expensive piece of kit, and it feels quite expensive. I'll finish by saying that I say the top three games. I haven't played all the games available before they launch because they're not all on here, but I'd say easily my top three games, if you are thinking of getting a Vita, are Gravity Rush, which is a Japanese sort of very strange fighting. Well, no, sort of a 3D adventure game where you can change gravity and then stick to walls and then and throw civilians off into walls, and it's very good. It sort of reminds me of Bayonetta in a way for some reason, but that's probably the art style. Sort of like a very sort of Victorian sort of sort of that sort of steampunky feel. But yeah, Gravity Rush is very good. Wipeout 2048 is very good. What else? I really like Super Stardust, but I'll probably go with Uncharted as my third game. Also, Everybody's Golf is very nice, but you know, it's a golf game. Oh yeah, I don't see myself playing that very long. So there you go. If you're interested in picking up a Vita in a month's time, that's my top picks. It's a nice machine, but it's a bit big, and I haven't brought it out with me. Obviously, it's a loan model, so I'm not going to do that. But I don't really see myself taking it out and about.
No.
But particularly, I mean, I think there was a survey that came out last week, which is kind of, you know, because whenever we talk about kind of mobile gaming, we always say, oh, when you're playing on the bus and stuff. But it found out, I can't remember what it was, but it was over 50% of time spent was people playing at home. So
Yeah.
I never take any tablets out unless I'm on a train or something. But
I do play a lot on the train. That's my main. I'd say that's where I mainly play, unless I'm reviewing a game, of course. Then.
Yeah.
I try and review a game on the move, but.
If I went and sat out in the city, just sat somewhere, I feel like I'd be sat there with a big arrow above my head saying, "Please rob me." Kind of. I would never.
It's almost reached the point where there's so many people with tablets though now that it would be, "Please rob me or him or over there."
I'd take the touchpad out because you think it was only 90 quid, so don't worry about it. But I wouldn't take an iPad out.
They'd rob you and go, "Oh, it's not an iPad. Have it back."
Yeah. What's this shit?
It's not half as bad as when the iPad first came out, because I had an iPad quite early. Again, it's a loan model. That was nervous. If I wanted to take out an iPad then, because I did occasionally on the train, like, you know, when I'm safe, and people would like look at you weirdly. Is that with the iPads?
It's the same as when I had some friends who imported the first iPhone, and you know, no one else had them here, and they'd never left the house with them, and you thought, well, that's your phone, you know.
Yeah, that's a bit weird.
Now you can't leave the house.
To be fair, I will say my closing remark about the Vita, unlike the 3DS, there doesn't feel like the only area where I would say that it lets itself down is in its battery life. Although, having said that, I'm still on one charge, but it's quite low now, and I've only been playing demos very occasionally. So I feel it's going to drain itself quite quickly.
I think with all this hardware now, you know, particularly something that's not, that can't be the size of an iPad, I mean, battery life's always a thing.
Well, the iPad's got two batteries strapped on the back.
Exactly. I mean, tablets is a bit different because they're big, but obviously the screen's bigger. But yeah, anything that's smaller than the tablet is going to have problems battery life.
What's the 3DS?
4 hours.
It's not very good.
The 3DS actually, I'd say, is probably worse than the Vita.
Mm.
But it might be because of the brightness I've got them on. There's lots of variables.
True.
There you go. There's a rundown. It's particularly iOS. I hope you've enjoyed
it. It's not iOS at all.
I know. It's not particularly iOS. It's more Android, in fact. There we go. Ignore that if you don't want to hear about it. That's it for this week. We will be back next week.
I won't be. I'm sorry.
Play some sad music in this.
I'll play some happy music.
I'm gonna be in Marseille. I'm gonna have been well over time. Judging mobile phone competition.
I'm in France next week.
You are.
I'm visiting a very, very. No one knows about this company really. It's an up and coming company called Gameloft.
Yeah, you better hope they don't listen to the podcast. Otherwise, they'll be after you.
Pass on my thoughts. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll record your rant earlier and just sit there in the room and play it on a tape deck. Just sit down, press play.
Give me a few beers, I'll say it to their face.
Beer's quite expensive in Paris. That's what my dad told me anyway. That's all he told me when he went to Paris last time. That's it. He just literally went on for about 20 minutes about the price of beer.
You want to make him play a Gameloft game, and he'll have something else to talk about.
He won't play a game. He doesn't know anything about games. He knows about trains, though. You'll like him, Keith. Anyway, that's it.
Are we done?
Yes, we're done. Thank you very much for listening. We'll see you soon. Well, we'll talk to you soon. Well, we won't talk to you. We'll talk at you soon. I've been Will Wilson. Thank you very much. And bye. Who are you? Keith Andrew. Who are you?
Yeah, bye-bye. Yep.